You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza.
Alan Cardoza.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, I'm Alan Cardoza, and you're listening to Answers for the Family. As a licensed private investigator and certified instructor in nonviolent crisis intervention, with over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate enough to meet and work with some of the top professionals in this field. I will bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Having escorted thousands of teens to specialized schools and programs, returned hundreds of runaways, and retrieved many abducted children, I bring a unique outlook on what our kids are going through and what can be done to help them thrive. And if that doesn't work, help them survive. This show brings you answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Answers for the Family will address issues such as locating your runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and international parental abduction. We will introduce you to specialized schools and treatment programs that can really help, and new innovations in many of these areas. I'm thrilled to have as my first guest today, Donald Dunbar. Don's career in education spans more than 30 years, having served as teacher, chaplain, coach, guidance counselor, and admissions consultant at a number of schools. In 1984, he founded Dunbar Educational Consultants, and now Gotham Books has published his work in an extraordinary book called What You Don't Know Can Keep You Out of College. I'm going to bring Don up. He is calling in from the East Coast. Don, welcome to the show.
Hey. Hi, I'm here.
Hey, I gotcha. This is great. I'm going to bring you up just a little bit in volume.
Oh, can I go up a little in volume?
No. I just did. I'm just letting you know that I was doing it on this
go
end.
Ahead.
That's perfect. Well, first of all, I mean, before we go into the book, tell us a little bit about Dunbar Educational Consulting.
Well, Dunbar Educational Consulting it assists students, high school kids, and their families to go through admissions processes to get into college and into graduate school, primarily. And we've been doing this now for 25 years, and we work with students from all over the world, and we have 15 counselors, and we have an office in Hong Kong, and one in New Canaan, and we have counselors in Europe and on the East Coast, and we all work together as a team. We discuss every single student we work with together, all 15 of us, at several times during the year. So it's a team-oriented proposition, and it works. Seems to work very well.
Well,
we all use each other as resources.
Well, based on the way that our economy is going now, are you finding that there are more children now because you have offices internationally that are being brought from other countries to America?
Well, it's hard to tell yet. You know, it's hard to see a trend yet. I think we have to wait until at least the summer to see if there's any difference in the flow of new clients. It hasn't changed yet. I mean, we have a continual flow coming from Asia as well as Europe, but mostly from the United States and mostly from the East Coast.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you're a full-service company, but is there a particular kind of student that you guys primarily work with or specialize in?
No, we work with any kind of student because you know, when you're competing for colleges, no matter what the level, whether it's, you know, a Chapman or a Whittier or whether it's a Stanford, you're in a pool with kids who are very much like yourself academically. You know, you've mm-hmm. probably got similar grades, similar courses, similar scores. But there are so many of you that the colleges sometimes have difficulty choosing. And it comes down to what kind of person you are. To use Martin Luther King's phrase, it comes down to the content of your character. And then what we know, what we understand, is what the colleges mean by character. They have their own idea of what is important to them about somebody's character, and the public doesn't really know much about that. So that's where we can be very valuable.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, with the way that cultures and technologies and solutions have changed so rapidly, how do you and your company keep pace with these changes as far as the dynamics of student placement?
Oh, well, because we all have, different people in the company with different orientations and different contacts. We all have our own contacts. We all, we come to each other with different technological skills as well. And so we're continually teaching each other. And also we hire resources from outside to come in and help us keep up with the dynamics that, as you say, there are changes, you know. Mm-hmm. For instance, kids are now applying online. And the colleges prefer that. And 15 years ago, people were not allowed to apply online.
Mm-hmm. I mean, have you found with a lot of this being online that it's taken away some of the personal approach?
You mean for the kids, you mean?
Yeah.
Does it seem less personal to them? Well, no, because it doesn't really matter. The applications still ask you to tell them essentially who you are, because it's the only thing they get from you as a person, as a student, is what you say in your essays. I mean, unless you have, some schools still interview, but the essay is really the college's only chance to see who you are, and it doesn't matter whether you're writing it on your computer and sending it in by online or you're sending it in by mail. It's the same thing. Mm. It's struggling with, the questions they ask, which are probing questions to see what makes you tick.
Well, I think one of the questions that I've gotten from families and from parents, and I think you might be able to share something about it, how do most admissions people reason? In other words, how do they reason this through when they make their decisions?
How do they reason? You mean, what
yes.
are they looking for?
Exactly.
With the students when they come before them, what are they looking at essentially?
Absolutely. Yes.
Most important. Well, they look at, of course, they look at the grade. The courses that the student takes. That's the first thing they look at is what a student takes for courses. Then they want to see how well they did, the grades, and then the SATs come into play, or the ACTs, or both, and then the teacher letters, whatever the teachers are saying about the student. That's really what they look at. That's the whole thing. And they just care primarily about where a kid is coming from academically, how interested they are in their subjects, what they're really passionate about academically. That's what they're looking for, interest in their subjects.
Yeah. Well, I did get a chance to read part of your book. I didn't get all the way through it. And again, the book's name is What You Don't Know Can Keep You Out of College. And one of the questions I had in regards to a chapter heading you had was you don't understand leadership. What do you mean by that, and what do kids applying to college need to understand about leadership?
Okay, thanks. This is what they need to understand. A leader to the colleges, the kind of leadership they are looking for, the kind of kid they want, is the one who is interested in other people's success, not just their own. Kids, very often I find even in their essays, they're talking about excelling and wanting to be the best at something. And they're not talking about we being the best or we excelling, but I. They're talking about me. You know, it's when Martin Luther King was talking about getting to the top of the mountain, he wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about the human family. He's talking about everybody. And that's the way kids have got to start thinking that way if they're going to be seen as leaders, or if they are going to be leaders. When they go into a classroom, they've got to be not only concerned about what they're going to get out of the class, but what everybody else is going to get out of the class. And if some kid, some friend of theirs, or maybe it isn't a friend, but somebody else in the class makes a statement, they shouldn't hope that the kid's going to make a bad statement because he's competing against them. He should even try to help bring that statement out that the kid makes and embellish it and get involved in it. And that's the way you make it a better class. You just support everybody in it. You support the teacher. It's like, I think most people can understand this better when they're thinking about athletics. When you're on a team, it's a little more obvious.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kid who really supports the other players. That's leadership. It's not enough just to lead by example. That's a good thing. But you've got to be consciously supportive of the people around you to help them be more successful.
Well, I couldn't agree most. And I think when you bring up sports, I agree. I mean, some of the best sports figures in history have been those people that make the other players around them better. And that's what I hear you saying about the classroom.
Isn't that what they say about Kobe on the Lakers?
Well, yeah, exactly. They said that that's been the biggest thing that has made him better, is he's made the other people around him better. And I think
I don't know whether he does that consciously, but he probably does.
Well, for those of us that are a little bit older, we think of Magic Johnson. I mean, being on the West Coast, I mean, we think of Magic Johnson as being the person who truly made everybody around him better.
He was a great guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He is a great guy, and he was a great ball player.
Yeah, he certainly was.
Okay.
You know, in the movie, this is the one that stands out to me. In the movie, There Will Be Blood, starring Daniel Day-Lewis. Did you see that movie?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't. But I heard good things
about
it.
He's an oil tycoon down in Texas. And he's a brutally competitive guy. And he says, you know, I'm a competitive guy. I want to be successful, but I don't want anybody else to be successful. And, you know, a lot of us are brought up that way,
mm-hmm.
hoping that other people won't be as good as you are, you know. And that's not leadership. The leadership is to give of yourself and care about how other people are doing and contributing to their well-being. That's what it's all about. That's the kind of character the colleges are looking for.
Well, and I think that's great. I think that speaks well for our future generations if we can have more people with that kind of character.
I think the president-elect is thinking that way. That we need to look what's happened on Wall Street and all the dishonesty and the greed and the selfishness that we've seen in big business. The colleges and the graduate schools want to crank out people with integrity. People who are going to be unselfish, you have to be out for yourself, but you've also got to be out for other people, and you've got to be concerned about other people, and that's one of the things that killed our economy, is the selfishness. And that concerns the colleges tremendously. It's one of the reasons why they're even more intense than they ever have been about finding people with good character.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, on the drive here with my next guest, we were talking about exactly that point. That from the standpoint of a selfishness, if you take that and then add that to now being a generation of entitlement. A horrible combination.
There were other things that hurt us too, but maybe Congress got a little carried away, a little too generous, but toward the mortgage companies, but it was essentially selfishness that mm-hmm. took us down. And I think what the president-elect wants to do is create a generation of people who are thinking more about the human family rather than just themselves.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Now, going back to the book for just a moment, I noticed you had a whole chapter on the dangers of dependency. Tell us a little bit about that, because, I mean, from the one hand, you know, I mean, isn't it good that, you know, when high school age students, we want them to look up to their parents and their teachers, and now you have a whole chapter on the dangers of dependency. So share a little bit about that with us.
Okay, Alan, it's all a matter of degree. You know, of course you want, I mean, it's good when kids are respectful of their parents, listening to their parents, respectful of their teachers. But, you know, there's a sucker question that comes up in a lot of applications, which asks you to describe somebody who's had a great influence on you. What kids tend to do in those essays is go a little too far and come out looking too dependent. But I'll give you one example. When kids are going for, let's say they're going for pre-med, a pre-med program in a college, it's a very dangerous program to go for because, especially for the private colleges, because they're always worried about kids coming out of high school who want to go into medicine. Why do they want to go into medicine? How do they know at 17 they want to go into medicine? Is it really coming from them, or is it coming from their parents, or have they? Mm-hmm. Is it the age of the profession? What are the reasons they really want medicine at 17 years old? So those kids are carefully scrutinized for who they, what they really are interested in themselves, and if I'll tell you the way around that is you've got to be interested in the sciences. You have to have taken physics, chemistry, and biology, and you have to have demonstrated that you love them. And that is one way to convince college admissions people that you really are genuine, that that's really your interest and not your parents. So, you know, they also, they also want to know how kids think themselves. You know, they sometimes throw ideas at them just to see if they have their own ideas. Right. You know, some kids can only quote people in response to some issue that comes up or some ideas. They want kids who can think for themselves, who really have their own thoughts, their own ideas.
Well, and again, I agree. And you brought up med school, which kind of leads me to a question. We have listener questions, and one of the nice things about having sent out our initial announcement on Friday is between Friday and today, we received questions from people who emailed them in. And I've got one that says, I have a young daughter who is interested in an Ivy League med school.
Is she a college student or a high school student?
Well, I'm guessing this is a high school student, but it says I have a young daughter who is interested in an Ivy League education. She wants to go to med school.
As a stepping stone to med school, sure.
Right, and it says I would call it more of a dream. She has a 3.7 grade point average. Should we give it a shot, or what are some of the things we could do to improve our standing and get into the school she would like to attend?
Well, of course, we don't have very much information when we only have a 3.7. I haven't seen what courses she takes, but I'll stress again, it's your interest in the sciences. If you're really passionate about chemistry and physics and biology, it's going to help you a lot. You're going to have to score well on those, the subject tests or the SAT-2s. The Ivies require those. So you'll have to take one in at least physics or chemistry. And you'll have to do one in math, and then the other one doesn't matter. So you'll have to score well. But, you know, the Ivy League is not necessarily the best route to medical school. Sometimes it's the smaller college, like the Claremont colleges, like Claremont McKenna or Pomona or Scripps, where you can get a careful education, and you're in the labs with an instructor who's only working with four or five kids. I mean, that they can be the best places to prepare for medical school, the small college. You can prepare well from USC, but just don't think the Ivy is the way to med school. My wife was a medical student at Harvard, and I was amazed at where the kids came from, mm-hmm. with whom she was studying, you know, the University of Tulsa, DePaul in Indiana. I mean, it was a real cross-section of people. The Ivy League med schools are not necessarily looking for Ivy Leaguers. That's not necessarily the best route to take, because sometimes it's the most competitive place to be, and you may not look as good. You know, you may not have time to develop the way you'd like to.
Yeah, that's a great point, especially when you're talking about leadership and stuff. Somebody may actually be much more of a leader by going to a college that's closer to them, or a college that accepts them wholeheartedly. You know,
teachers are more apt to say great things about you in a small school. and a less competitive school, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and another question that comes in, this one in regards to someone's son, and again, I'm trying to read these as they've written them. So it says, okay. Life has been pretty tough on my son. It's a long story, but his first couple of years of high school were rough as far as grades. Since then, he has turned things around, but his overall GPA doesn't show that. What's a good course of action for us to take towards higher education?
Well, in the first place, he might need an extra year someplace, or he might have to start, if he's a Californian, he might have to start in one of your junior colleges and work his way up that way. But remember this, that he should totally focus on who he is now and where he is, the pinnacle he's reached. In the last 2 years, he's really become a good student. Of course, one of the disadvantages is that because he didn't do well the first 2 years, he couldn't hit in the most advanced courses probably in his last 2 years. But when he's writing about himself, he should not go back to the tough times he had in the first 2 years and dwell there. Get out of there. You can allude to it, but focus, completely on who you are now. At this time, when you feel great about yourself, you feel great about academics, go there and stay there. That's the way to make the greatest impression on the colleges, because they're not looking for people who are, you know, who are going to tell them a long, sad story.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for kids who are feeling great.
I think this is a great time. Can you tell people how they can get a hold of you?
Oh, yes. You can get a hold of me. We have a website, which is DunbarConsultants.com. My phone number is 203-259-4123. The office phone number is 0734, but ask me another question while I'm looking it up.
Okay, well, actually, what I'll tell everybody is that, again, feel free to contact Don Dunbar with some of your questions, but you can also go to our website. You can go to Answers for the Family. That's Answers, the numeral for, thefamily.com. You can go to the website. We have a blog. You can put your questions there. If it's a question directly for Don or for one of our other listeners, we will get that question to them, get it answered, and put it on the blog or discuss it on the show. Put it in the announcement, but you will get an answer. So just be, you know, following the announcements, checking the blog. We will get you the answers that you need.
Oh, thanks, Alan. That's 0733, by the way.
Okay.
I couldn't remember.
Okay.
So I never used it.
So read the whole number again.
Yeah, 203, it's Connecticut, 259-0733. That's the office number in Connecticut.
Okay. And where can they find the book?
Oh, the book, you can find it through our website, or you can find it on What You Don't Know. There's no apostrophe in there. whatyoudontknow-pr.com. And this book really tells you how colleges think and what they mean by character, and it gives a lot of stories of the mistakes that kids have made that I have seen over the last 30 years. There are really some very funny stories in there, but it's based on my experience when I was in a prep school in the East Coast and got inside the college admissions offices and found out how they think when they were making decisions on my kids, and reading excerpts from the essays, reading excerpts from teacher letters, from interviews. So I learned how they think, and we've kept up with how colleges think in the last 25 years. We followed up on that.
Well, one of the things, I love the way that you wrote this. It's from the standpoint, each chapter is essentially one of the mistakes. So people can go directly. And that was kind of why I said, I couldn't tell you that I read all of it, but I was able to go through and look at certain mistakes that people made. So again, it's the subtitle is 13 Fatal Application Mistakes and Why Character is the Key to College Admissions. So again, I love the way that it's written. For anybody out there, if you have someone that is in high school, if they're getting ready to go to college, this is a great book. It will probably help you a lot in getting your application in.
Thanks, Alan.
What?
We already did one of those chapters when you talked about the kid who had a rough time his first 2 years. I had a whole chapter on that. You don't learn from rough times.
Yeah, to tell us about that one. In fact, actually, I have that as one of my questions, that there is a chapter called, you know, You Don't Learn from from Rough Times. Tell us a little bit more what that one is about.
Well, you know, you take a kid who maybe had learning issues early in his academic career. Maybe he was thrown out of a school. Maybe he was caught cheating or something. You know, how do you bounce back from that? Well, that's what this chapter is all about. You can bounce back from that. If you understand how the colleges think, I'll take cheating, for instance. I mean, I had a kid who was caught cheating, and he went back to to his colleges after the next year, and he said, well, I understand. Well, I'll never cheat again. I never realized how tough this school would be on me and how everybody would lose their trust in me, and I just had a terrible time, a terrible year. It's one of the worst experiences of my life. Well, he didn't understand what the colleges were thinking, how they think about cheating. What he should have talked about was his regret for having participated in something that was harmful to his school and harmful to everyone else, not just harmful to him. So it's the same theme. The same thing, with focusing on yourself instead of on how you're affecting other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about.
Well, and you know, we are almost out of time. We're going to need to take a break. But what I'd like to do, and before I bring my next guest up, can you tell us, I mean, what is the one thing that you would tell a young person that has aspirations for a great college education? If you
Well, I would focus on what you're interested in, and I think you have to know what you're interested in, and you have to go the extra mile. You know, if you're interested in literature, you should be reading outside the school curriculum. If you're a scientist, if you're interested in the sciences, you should be doing stuff in the summer. I mean, it really comes down to how interested you are in academics, and how much time you want to give them, how much you will sacrifice for those interests. That's what it comes down to. More than anything. But of course, then it comes to character.
Yes.
After that. But interest, academic interest, and character are the keys.
Don, thank you.
Okay, Alan.
Yeah, I was going to say thank you so much. You still there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. I heard a click, like I thought that we lost you. Anyway,
oh, no, I'm not gonna do that.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on. I would love to be able to have you back. So if we can do that, because there's some other areas I'd love to talk about. I'd love to talk more about international. So,
sure, I'd love to come back.
That'd be great. Again, thank you. And again, for those listening, the book is called What You Don't Know Can Keep You Out of College. So check it out. And Don, I will look forward to talking to you again soon.
Me right. as well. Thank you very much, Alan. All the best.
All right. Take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to take a break. We will be back shortly with Angela Siegel. So we'll be back in a minute. Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you. We're back, and I'm... Wow, that was a new sound. We're back, and I'm here with Angela Siegel. Now, I want to share that there are two sides to every story. While the better your teen is prepared for college, the better their chances to go. Although, in this economy, some may not have college as an option. My next guest, Angela Siegel, will discuss some of the similarities in preparing for college and success in the workplace. Angela has had her own radio and television shows. She's managed small businesses as well as having been very successful working in corporate America. Angela currently consults for businesses while setting them up with advertising campaigns that position them to succeed today and in our constantly changing future. Welcome to Answers for the Family, Angela. Okay. I didn't have you up quite loud enough.
Well, I'll say it again. Thank you for having me.
That is great. Now, you got a chance to listen a little bit to Don. Do you have any comments in regards to that?
I did. I thought it was very good. Obviously, I agree with him in terms of lots of the things that he said. Happy Martin Luther King Day. I'm very excited about today. It's an awesome day. And I think he echoed a lot of the sentiments that I believe as well, that character is very important, and it's something that is measured differently in so many different situations, but at the end of the day, it's revealed in times of trouble. That's when you really see what people are made of. And I think that when young people have an opportunity to practice this as they do life, You know, and I'm talking about just living on a day-to-day basis. I think that's the best preparation you can ever give them.
Well, I know that personally you encountered challenges that did not allow college as an option for you. Tell us a little bit about that.
I'm a person who has had a pretty colorful life. I mean, I left home when I was 15. I was a parent at 15. And that in itself made for different options for me. I don't really remember even thinking that I even could go to college because I had to work. You know, I've been working since I was 15. You know, I forged my working paper so I could work. And I worked. I mean, that's what I did. I worked and I took care of my child. So that wasn't an option for me, although I knew that, you know, I come from, you know, being an African-American person, I come from two college-educated parents. My mom has a PhD. My dad had a master's. You know, my sister is an MD with an MBA, and my other one has a PhD, and the other one, you know, is educated as well. So, I come from a very well-educated family, so some of it rubs off. but, you know, I think that not to diminish what Don had said earlier, because I believe all those things are very necessary, especially in this environment. Now I have three children. In this environment, college is almost a necessity in that you're still in that same pool that he's talking about that you enter in when you're trying to have someone pick you for college. They're picking you for a job. They're picking you for a husband. They're picking you for a wife. The reality is that life is always about somebody picking you. It's the way life works. So they are very much the same types of skills that are necessary.
Well, and what part do you think the economy has played in the options for prospective college-bound students?
I think the economy is huge. I think the people have to be, especially parents, have to be very real about what this economy is and what it means to parenting. It's imperative that from the youngest child all the way up to teenagers understand the value of contributing to the household. I mean, that's part of what Dom was referring to when he spoke about character. Character is developed not by what you give your kids, it's by what your kids are willing to give to others that aren't related to them beyond your own home. And, you know, I challenge parents every day to say, you know, what is it that my kids do for people that can't give them anything back? Because that's what counts. That's what he's talking about. And I think that when you look at this economy and what these children are going to face, it's, you know, I think that, you know, President-elect Obama has hit the nail on the head several times and said it's not going to be over in 4 years. It's not going to be over tomorrow. It's going to get worse before it gets better. That it is. And I think that parents have to. If you're laid off from work, your kids need to know what that means. If you're afraid for your job, they need to know what that means. It doesn't mean that they have to be fearful. It means that they stand up strong and know that they take these options that are laid before them and use what they have in their hand. You know, Don spoke about grades and the importance of grades. If, in fact, we send our children to school every day, and that's their job. Mm-hmm. Their job is to get good grades. It's, you know, parents, in my opinion, have to learn that not to carry their backpack. Let them carry their own backpack. If their responsibility, it's their obligation to get good grades, especially in this economy, because if a scholarship is the only way you're going, mm-hmm. whose fault is it if they don't get a scholarship? You read a question earlier from one of your listeners, and I've kind of smiled as you read it because their question was, what can we do, and our this, and our that, and as if she was going to school too. You know, I just remember my parents saying to me when I would come home from school and tell them what the teacher did, they had one answer to me that was consistent, and that was, she already graduated. So whatever I said didn't really matter. Get your butt back in there and do whatever it is that they told you to do. And I think where that may sound harsh, I think we've swayed so far the other way that you have the parent going in the classroom fighting against the teacher. Mm-hmm. So if that's what they see, how can we be upset that we're seeing a character that's crushing America? Why are we shocked? A, we participated in it, and B, we created it. So in answer to your question, the economy is huge. But I tell you what, One of my favorite sayings is, change only occurs when the pain of where you are exceeds the fear of where you're going. So the pain of where we are right now in this economy, which is not, we haven't even felt the most painful yet, will eliminate the fear that we all have in what's going to happen next. We will be forced to do that is the right thing. And I think we're going to raise up a nation that's going to be incredible. I'm very hopeful about this next generation. You know, they will be the ones that make the decisions about our future. I'm very hopeful about what they'll do. I'm believing they'll be selfless. I believe that.
Well, and I do too. And I agree with also what Don said about character. It's going to be about character. It's not going to be about money to get into the college. They're going to be needing, you know, now, especially with the ones that are trying to get scholarships. Scholarship is going to be the ones with character.
Yep.
So if those of you listening, if your children are preparing for college, if you have lost your job or there's been some cutbacks or whatever, understand that if they can go in and show the character and show the leadership that they need, that's going to get them the scholarships that, to get them the college education that they desire.
Well, I think also part of, you know, leadership and character are all things that are learned in little lessons. They're little home lessons. It's, you know, I laugh when I watch people gather up the things they're going to give to Goodwill. And I always think it's interesting when we teach children to give away what they don't want. You know, the real lesson is giving away something you really wanted. And one of the things that President Barack Obama elect, president-elect for one more day, I think he's so on point when he says it's going to be about sacrifice. When is the last time in America we've talked about sacrifice? I mean, we watched Hurricane Katrina. We watched people flooding, on standing on top of their homes, and shook our head and thought, that's a shame. That's terrible. And I'm not saying no one helped. There were people that helped. But we herald people for helping, when in reality, that's our reasonable service.
Exactly.
The least we could do. That's what we're supposed to do. And I think what we're going to find is we're going to have an America that will say, that's what we're supposed to do. No, we whatever it is that needs to be done, we don't need a 9/11 to make us join together. We don't need that. And our kids need to understand that it does not take a 9/11 to make you care about other people. And I shouldn't have to ask you to do that. That's your reasonable service. It's not radical. You're not a hero for doing that. That's what you're supposed to do.
No, I couldn't agree more. Now, because we don't have as much time as we normally do, one of the questions I know I want to ask you is, what advice do you have for parents who desire college for their children when they didn't go themselves?
That's interesting, because obviously I desire a college for my children, and they went, the two of them so far, and neither one has graduated yet. So that's a different story. But I said yet. I didn't say ever. Because I very much wanted my kids to go to college. That was my desire. But I will say this, that part of building the structure for them to go is more difficult if you didn't go yourself, because I don't have that experience. And it is more difficult. And if I had any criticism of myself, it would be that I didn't push it as hard as probably people that did go. I didn't. What I did push, though, is I did push character. I did push sacrifice. I did push volunteerism. I did push we're a Christian family. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus. So I did push those things. I pushed them hard. So I will say that I did that. But, you know, my advice to parents would be the same advice I took for myself, which is it is necessary, because without it, you are not in the same playing field. You don't even get an opportunity to go up to bat. There are, you know, they saw my success, but I had to remind my children often, there's a lot of jobs I was never able to even apply for. There was a time in my life when a manager wanted me to work for IBM. He desperately wanted me, so badly. So badly, to the point where they were going to pay for me to go to college because he could not hire me without a college degree. You know, that was an interesting situation, because I couldn't afford, even though they were going to pay for me to go, I couldn't afford to make the little stipend and support my family. So I didn't take it.
To take the pay cut.
Right. So I could, right. It would have been a huge pay cut. So I didn't do it. But I knew that I could never have a job there. I couldn't have a job in pharmaceuticals. I've managed doctor's offices, many of them, and well, a few of them, and have not, and cannot even sell the pharmaceuticals that people came to sell me, because because they will not hire me. Johnson & Johnson, J&J is a great company. I can't work for J&J. I don't have a college degree. So if you do not get a college degree, you will seriously cut your chances for some opportunities. You know, that's and so, you know, I think as a parent, you have to be very clear with your children and remember it's balance in all things. And, you know, when they're 17, that may not seem like a big deal, and they'll say, oh, I don't care. But then you as a parent have to add the 17 years to it and make them 35 and say, now do you care? Put them on the internet. Sit them down in front of Monster. Let them look for a job. There are real, very real things that you can do that are practical that will help them see, dag, there's nothing available. Or as my son would say, that's random. It's not random. That's the way it is.
Well, which skills do you deem as valuable that students may not obtain in college, that it's valuable in the business world today?
You know, I think it's interesting because it's not so much the business world. I think these skills are valuable. You know, to me, life is business. Life is a business. And I know that sounds very cold and crass, but it is. What is business except for people? It's people banding together, getting done that they've set out to do. That's what business is. So guess what? That's what life is too. That's what living is. So what are life skills that are necessary? It's necessary that you make decisions that are not solely for you, that they benefit the greater good, and they move you forward, not by yourself. You know, not by yourself, but move you and those that are around you forward. And those skills are necessary. And how do you do that? You make decisions that are not self-centered. You look around corners. You anticipate the storm. A lot of the things we didn't do in this economy. You don't ride the wave and just enjoy it because, hey, I'm hanging 10. It's cool, dude. No. All waves come to an end. There is no wave that just stands still unless it's a picture. They all move. So the reality is that you have to anticipate that things will change, just like in what? Just like in life. So life is a business. Do it well.
Okay. And what would you want to say to those that are in a situation in which they're not going to be able to go to college? In other words, they need to work now. They need to help the family so that they're not – I mean, obviously, we don't want them to be afraid. We don't want them to feel like a failure. What would be an approach that we can have with the person in that position?
I think that, you know, because life is a business, and business and life fails without a plan. So part of the plan needs to be, I can't go now. It doesn't mean never. Mm-hmm. And what the naysayers will say, because it is true statistically that most people that don't go right away don't go. So the statistic is true. But, you know, there's lots of statistics. The statistics said that in my lifetime I was not going to see a black president, and I will tomorrow. So so statistics, you know, so. I mean, reality is if you plan it in your mind, and I think Don alluded to this, you set your mind on that thing that you're passionate about, then you can do it. Have a plan. There's nothing wrong with, you know, my mom and dad are having issues economically. I need to help them, so therefore I can't go right out of high school. But I'm going 4 years from now because this is my plan. And you talked earlier about the life skill. What an awesome life skill. What an awesome business skill. Who wouldn't hire somebody who made a plan at 17 to work for 4 years, went to school, got a degree, and now they're out looking for a position? Who would not hire that person?
Right, and to help their family.
Right. I mean, who would not hire that person? Because at the end of the day, that person has better skills than someone who went right out of high school and then went and then left with very little life experience. So, you know, everything has its value. But the biggest, I would say this, Alan, the biggest deterrent to people's success is themselves. Move yourself out of the way and you'll be surprised what can happen.
Absolutely. Angela, tell us what it is that you're doing now.
Well, you know what I'm doing now? I actually help businesses, small businesses, to position themselves online, to make sure that they're represented on both Google and Yahoo. I review their websites, help them to gain greater visibility online. I'm very excited about that because I believe that small business, I'm very passionate about small business. I'm very passionate about small business in America. Because I see such a disappearance of what made this country great, which is the idea that you could always sell apples on the street and still make a living. That I call them chucking a truck. could make a living. And I see that going by the wayside. And, you know, I don't think it's a government responsibility. I don't think it's a I think it's a people responsibility. And I really speak to my businesses about, you know, pulling themselves up, not by bootstraps, because I don't believe in bootstraps. I don't think everybody – I think there's lots of people that don't have bootstraps. I speak to my businesses about pulling themselves up just and being able to say, you know what? I'm scared of this technology, but I'm going to learn it. I'm going to have technology. Technology will not have me. You know, if I had a nickel for every small business that says to me, well, I don't use that MySpace, or I don't use that Facebook, or you know, there's only porno on the internet, or I don't want to work my website, I'm scared of Twitter. You know, all these things that they've made into this big, huge technology monster, you're going to see the first president that has absolutely not only won the election with technology, but will continue to use technology throughout the presidency. So when I see my small businesses, you know, chucking a truck who says, well, I don't have a website, or yeah, my brother built it in the basement and they haven't changed it at all, they will be extinct.
Well, exactly. And because we were talking about people coming out of college, these kids coming out of college, they know how to use this.
Absolutely.
They're going to know how to use the technology necessary to open their business.
Absolutely.
So again,
and hopefully they will. Because that's what their world is made of. And I think the benefit in what you're going to see, because you're going to have a more socially conscious generation, they're going to put their social consciousness with the internet, and you're going to see it explode. And I don't mean in a my face, what are you wearing, or, you know, that way. I mean bigger than that, bigger and greater than that. And I think you're going to see a lot of .orgs come around. You know, you're going to see some really awesome things happen in America. I really believe that.
Well, and to use the expression you use with chucking a truck, I think if you're chucking a truck trying to make your company work, you better start talking to Chuck Jr. if you want to make that company grow and expand, or you want to go nationwide, or whatever it is that you want to do. If you're not going to learn it yourself, let's hope that your own child coming out of college does know it.
And you can learn it. And that's the older people that say to me, oh, I don't want to learn that. And I said, you know what? You can learn it. You must learn it. It's the same reason why if you have someone doing your taxes or doing something that has to do with income into your business, I mean, if you don't have any idea at all, it's the reason why you don't just give the stockbroker your money and don't know what's going on. I don't need to tell you the rest of that story. You know, you don't do that. You need to know yourself, and they can learn it. That's it, and that's what I help businesses do. I'm passionate about that. I think it's imperative that we learn it.
Okay. If they need to get a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you?
They can't.
Okay. If you have – that's right. Yeah. If you have questions, again, go to our website, answersforthefamily.com. If you have questions for Angela, we will get those questions to her. I'm kidding.
If in fact anyone does need help with their business and has some business questions that they'd like me to help them with, you can reach me at askangelasegal@aol.com. askangelasegal@aol.com.
There you go. All right. Angela, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
We are about out of time. For everybody out there, again, if you have questions, go to the website. It's answers4thefamily.com. If you go to our blog, there are other questions that people are asking. Take a look at those. They may be asking the question you didn't think about. Have a great week.
Listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Irreverent.